This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's not often that you hear a story that combines Gold Rush era outlaws, Forbidden Connection, and an epic musical score, but that's exactly what's coming to Fitzroy next month. Moonlight is a powerful new musical work telling a little-known Australian tale in a way you've never experienced before. It's directed, artistically directed, by Miranda Hill, and it's a production that promises passion, drama, and deep emotional resonance. Have I got you interested? Well, Miranda joined us. Welcome to Drive.
Thank you, Warren. It's such a joy to be here.
Let's start with the name Moonlight. Who was he, for those who don't know?
Captain Moonlight, the iconic Captain Moonlight. Victoria's very own gay bushranger. He's a beautiful, beautiful, depends on your particular aesthetic choices, I guess, whether he's beautiful. The main portrait we have of him is, of course, from his portrait from prison. So he's not looking at his best, maybe, in that image. He looks a bit fierce. But Andrew George Scott, he was around sort of the 1840s. He died in the 1880s. And he was a bank robber. He was a bit of a gold digger in the old use of the term rather than the modern usage of that term. He was a bushranger, which is what he's kind of best known for. But what I love in his story was he was also a public speaker for prison reform.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He was breaking gay stereotypes too.
He very much was doing a lot of those. He was also, from what we can tell from his own writings, very much part of the Joy family.
What was he like as a person?
I mean, did you miss the bit where I said bushranger, gold digger and bank robber? I'm guessing probably not the nicest man. At the same time, there are stories of him. So he went in and out of prison. One time he was in prison and he escaped, but he took six others with him. So there are elements when he was one particular bank robbery where he made the bank. He had a letter for the bank teller saying, I tried really hard and I couldn't stop him. This is not my fault. And he made the bank teller actually sign that before leaving to try and remove blame from the bank teller. So I think he's a complicated character, as are we all, Warren.
Absolutely. Now, there's a deep love story in the heart of this production. It's tangled with crime, violence, heartbreak. Without spoiling too much, how do those tensions play out in the performance?
I think we can. It's kind of like spoiling the ending of Titanic, really. If you've heard, if you've heard of Moonlight, you look him up, you find this out. And when he was awaiting execution, that is, he did die by hanging. He wrote his, I think they're called the death cell letters, and in it he professes his love. In it, it's very coded for its time, but it is also very clearly romantic love for James Nesbitt. He was a fellow outlaw, somebody he met in prison, and he was hung and buried wearing a ring made of James's hair. There are elements of great beauty in this story, alongside all the stories that kind of go along with what we know from the Cali Gang and other stories from that era of great violence and bloodshed.
So we only find out at the end that he's gay, of his life.
Well, to the people who didn't know him, probably the people who knew him were aware, I would imagine. So this work, it's written by a composer librettist team. They're from Melbourne and regional Victoria. Wally Gunn's the composer, and Maria Jakowski, the librettist, is a poet, and they've taken from those death cell letters, from court records, from writings, contemporary writings at the time. And Marie is a beautiful poet and has really woven this libretto and this text that it comes in and out from hard and fast fact to imagined realities of the time. But we have these first person letters, which is something really quite amazing and very, very uncommon.
And rare.
And so rare, particularly for a same-sex story in that era.
How hard has it been, piecing together the story, do you think, from the letters and the things that we do have?
To be perfectly clear, I haven't done that. That was not, I'm directing this rather than I did not write it, cannot take credit for that. But a few people have done it. There's been bits and pieces of quite a few, like obviously this story captures the imagination. There's a lot of people who have written musicals plays. There's a jewelry maker, then visual artists mm-hmm. who work with these texts. I know that this work is evocative. I know it is at times a little bit scary in the way that the music interacts with the text, but that it's also, it's a bit sexy. You know, I mean, it's contemporary classical art music and poetry sexy. I don't, you know, no one's going to be breaking out the smelling salts, but it is, it's a very immersive experience.
Now, we're in the studio with Miranda Hill, Artistic Director of Homophonic, do we say oratorio? Oratorio?
Oh, I'm a double bass player, not a singer. I would say oratorio. I may be wrong. I'll find a text as soon as I'm offline if I'm wrong.
It's telling a little known and deeply emotional story from Victoria's colonial past. I love the fact that we're bringing a story to life. Now, you're using music rather than dialogue.
Yes.
To tell this story. What does that allow you to do emotionally that words alone can't do?
Oh, I love that. I mean, I'm a musician, so
this is your thing.
It is 100% my thing, and music. So this is also a particularly evocative set and very unusual set of instruments. Mm. So it's six voices, which is the Melbourne's premier vocal ensemble, the Consort of Melbourne, who are very long-term collaborators of Homophonic. If you've ever seen Homophonic, you have definitely experienced the power of the Consort of Melbourne. But they're joined by four percussionists. So quite large setups. We've got everything from, I'm getting emails about their tuning blocks of wood, and there's all of this stuff happening in the percussion world. So four percussionists and a solo viola. And what's fascinating in this text, that the music that Wally Gunn has created, that you'd imagine, like, yes, the power comes from the words, the power of the human voice, of the collective storytelling from six people singing. But also there's this visceral, guttural reality of percussion. You get drums, you feel that in your waters, you know, to show my age to say that.
Goosebumps.
But you get the goosebumps. There's something primal and human about drumming. So it's got this element of percussion, which can also bring in kind of foley and setting the scene. There's elements of bird calls and other sounds in there. But it's the solo viola that is the heart. There is this one beautiful, and every so often it stands alone. Within this huge sound world, and this one viola that is holding this kind of incredibly human sound, which is the thread that goes between this big story. And yeah, it's a story about these two men, but it's a story about our history. It's a story about everything. It's a story about crime. What is crime? When is it a crime?
What
when
drove
is it survival?
Them to crime back then?
And both things, of course, were crimes back then.
Now, just on the music sounds powerful, but there's also something really powerful about reclaiming and queering this part of Australian history. I suppose, how conscious were you of that as you approached the direction?
Oh, very much so. And this is a large part of Homophonic. Of course, we've been working in this space for 15, 16 years of putting on contemporary classical music with a queer history and a queer lens. And I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, but there's this idea that we look backwards, this kind of revisionist sense of conservative history that, you know, oh, we need to return to the time when all men were straight and white and able-bodied. You're like, that time never existed. No. That was never a time that existed. You want to go back to something that never happened. So there is something that's really powerful about unstraightwashing our own past. Mm. And, you know, particularly with queer culture, we don't get that same lineage of a high holiday family dinner table to remember our history in the same way. So it's upon us as creatives and historians and storytellers to take note of these things, write them down, but then also reframe them in a way that is relevant for now.
We're in the studio with Miranda Hill, Artistic Director of Homophonic, who's putting on Moonlight in Fitzroy. Now, the bond between Andrew Scott and James Nesbitt, which you touched on before, it's central to the piece. How do your performers bring that connection to life, especially when, you know, it's only through the sound?
I mean, the singers we have, the two people who are singing those I hesitate to say roles because it's not, you know, we don't have costumes and sets and performances. Yep. It is more of a sort
good.
Of staged, it's a, you know, stage performance. But those two singers, they are able to embody that love and that longing and that fear, but also that strength of character that they both had. To bring that forward, we are playing with a few elements with, you know, lighting and everything else. But also in the text, they sing and then they speak. And there are elements of where different members of the vocal ensemble of the Consort of Melbourne speak the words, and a lot of it is lifted directly from the letters. And there's elements, we've done small bits, snippets of it in the past, and I can still hear them very clearly in my head. This work's only been performed once before. This is the Australian premiere. It was performed in America, which is where Wally Gunn spends a lot of his time now. So the recordings from that, they're reading these texts beautifully and they're singing it beautifully, but they've got American accents, and it's just, we're really excited to be able to do it with a proper Victorian accent. That is what we're bringing to this.
I'm looking forward to it. You're staging it in Fitzroy Town Hall.
Yes.
It's an old civic space, I suppose. It echoes history.
They did both spend time in Fitzroy. There is evidence that they both spent time in the area, as they would have at the time. I think anyone who was not the hoi polloi of society in the 1880s in Melbourne pretty much ended up in Fitzroy.
And now, but if you're in regional Victoria,
you are in luck.
You're in luck. Tell us about that as well.
We are taking Moonlight on tour. So much as we're excited to bring the Australian premiere to Fitzroy, the first time this story in this form is being performed on this land, we are also bringing it to really the heartlands and the goldfields to where this was. So we're taking it to Shepparton first in August, and Ballarat as well, which is, of course, really where the queer goldfields holds its heart. And then we're going a little bit further afield to Port Fairy in October. So keep an eye on our website, sign up to the Homophonic Mailing List to hear all the details as soon as tickets for those are released.
And if we want to find out a little bit more, perhaps, about the story itself or the production, I believe there's a panel as well.
There is a panel discussion. We've got, and so we've been working with the Australian. Don't we all love a panel discussion? Working with the Australian Queer Archives, the beautiful and essential Australian Queer Archives. So they've been putting together some information on Moonlight and the history of Moonlight and the texts and things that are around, but also the ways that his story has been told and has been kind of claimed by the queer community in Australia over the years. So they're going to be on site at the performance as well with some information. But we are doing a panel discussion with them, with a representative, a historian from the Queer Archives, as well as Wally Gunn and Maria Tchaikovsky, the lead creatives behind this. And that is on Wednesday, the 23rd of July at Grouse Melbourne on Smith Street in Fitzroy.
Fantastic. So Moonlight premieres Saturday, July the 26th. It's 7 p.m. at Fitzroy Town Hall. Tickets and more info are available at homophonic.com.au/Moonlight. Miranda, thank you for bringing this remarkable story to Joy Drive.
Thank you very much, Warren. It's been such a joy to spend time in this world and also to share a little bit with you.
Thank you, Miranda. That is our Miranda Hill, Artistic Director of Homophonic.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.